Today, after the perfect storm, how's the market wreckage and what's next? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, go across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto on the way. And whichever way you look at the past week, it was a volatile, perfect storm, driven by weird US jobs data, Middle East tensions, and Japan's policy shift, which together managed to ignite global market chaos. Ahead, I think traders will need to prepare for an extended period of uncertainty and volatility, so it isn't over yet. They continue to swing from one side of the deck to the other, as investors overreacted swiftly and decisively, dumping stocks in a classic risk-off maneuver, from a far weaker than expected non-farm payroll report, but then ran back on slightly stronger data a week later. Many economists reckon the reaction to the data was overblown, given the numbers may be skewed by immigration and Hurricane Beryl, and better than expected jobless claims data out last Thursday also supported that view, sending stocks rallying. The market panic that began in the US quickly spread to Asia, with Japan bearing the brunt of the sell-off. The Nikkei 225, Japan's benchmark stock index, suffered its most catastrophic decline since the infamous Black Monday of 1987, plunging by an amazing 12% within just 6 hours. The Japanese yen surged in value by over 10% in less than a month, triggering stop orders and forcing numerous macro hedge funds to liquidate their long US dollar Japanese yen positions. Thus, the unwinding of the yen carry trade triggered a vicious cycle of selling pressure, which spread into other markets. But then we got a pullback from the Bank of Japan on potential rate hikes. And on Tuesday, the S&P 500, the Nikkei 225, and Bitcoin reversed to the upside. And perhaps a sense of normalcy started to return to the markets. Fed officials' comments also helped to soothe investors, with Austin Gusby's, that's the Chicago Fed president, saying that while the UK employment data last week was weaker than expected, the US was not in a recession. And a trio of Federal Reserve policymakers indicated on Thursday that they were more confident that inflation is cooling enough to cut rates. A bit of an expected fall in US jobless claims data also helped to underpin the recovery. And US ISM services PMI data actually recovered from a four-year low in July, as Monday's data showed, which also helped quash fears of a recession, and that helped to make investors reconsider their excessive dovish interest rate expectations. So for now, the likelihood of recession is, well, anyone's guess. Goldman Sachs has raised its odds of a US recession to 25%. JP Morgan sees a 35% chance of one starting before the end of the year. And global economic data is delivering negative surprises near the highest rate since the middle of 2022, according to Citi's Surprise Index. Rate cut bets sent shorter dated US Treasury yields tumbling, and the closely watched part of the yield curve that tracks the gap between the 10-year and the 2-year Treasury yield turned positive for the first time since July 2022 on Monday. While a yield curve inversion has historically been seen as a good predictor of a recession on the horizon, the curve tends to revert back to normal as a recession nears. However, with the curve inverted for a record time this cycle, with no recession materializing, a majority of strategists said that perhaps it was less reliable by way of a recession indicator. The curve has inverted back since then, by the way, after the dramatic bond rally sent them to more than one-year lows on Monday. Yields on the interest rate-sensitive two-year notes rose to 4.057% and are up on the week. Actually, the biggest one-week increase since March, and benchmark 10-year notes fell to 3.942% on Friday and are still up on the week, the largest one-week increase since April. The Fed is expected to cut rates at its next policy meeting on September the 17th and 18th, but traders are weighing whether it will be 50 or 25 basis points. Traders are currently pricing in a 51% probability of a 50 basis point cut and a 49% odds of a 25 basis point reduction, but the call for an emergency rate cut has all but dissipated for now. The VIX, the Volatility or Fear Index, traded roughly between 12 and 20 for most of the year. That's until last Friday, when it surged to above 65 at one point, a level associated with outright investor panic. But it's worth noting that the VIX futures did not go so bad. And commentators like former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers suggest that there are technical issues with the VIX. My understanding is that because there are some illiquid instruments that go into the calculation of the VIX had a somewhat artificial move on Monday, Summers told Bloomberg. Since that is so widely watched an indicator, issues of liquidity, issues around how it settles, I think should be studied by the relevant parties in the industry and the regulator, the SEC. The VIX closed down 14.4% to 20.37 in Chicago on Friday. The S&P 500 ended higher on Friday and was actually little changed for the week, after regaining almost all of its losses since Monday's steep dive that was prompted by those fears of a recession and the unwinding of a global yen-funded carry trade. It was down 4.3% over the past month, though. The technology sector gave the index its biggest boost on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.13% to 39,497. The S&P 500 gained 0.47% to 5,344. And the Nasdaq Composite added 0.51% to 16,745. For the week, the S&P 500 was down 0.05%. The Dow was down 0.6%. And the Nasdaq was down 0.2%. Even after recent selling, all three major indices remain solidly higher for the year, with big gains early in 2024, driven by strong earnings in tech-related mega-caps and optimism over AI. The S&P 500 and Nasdaq are now each about 12% higher since December the 31st last year, and the sell-off has made tech stocks less expensive based on price-to-earnings ratios. Oh, and by the way, the Russell 2000 small caps was down 0.21% on Friday and 2% over the past month, extinguishing that pop in late July. Investors will now wait next week's readings on US consumer prices and retail sales for July, which could provide fresh evidence on the chances of a soft landing for the American economy or a recession. And also comments by Fed Chair Jerome Powell at the Fed's Jackson Hole Economic Policy Symposium on August 22nd to 24th may also provide some new clues on the path of interest rates. Incidentally, analyst JP Morgan said that retail investors were aggressive net sellers on Monday, with most of the selling pressure hitting the market in the first hour of trading. But then they were resolute buyers during the market's recovery on Tuesday and Wednesday. Ahead, the S&P 500 is expected to drop, though, to around 3,750 by 2025. That's according to a research note from analysts at BCA Research on Friday. They state that the global equities market has faced a 1-2 punch, starting with growing skepticism over the bullish narrative surrounding AI, followed by rising concerns about economic growth, particularly in Europe and China. These concerns have now spread into the US, fueled by a surprising increase in the unemployment rate. They said they project the US will enter a recession in late 2024, early 2025, although future Fed cuts will eventually stimulate growth. BCA Research cautions that those benefits could arrive too late, as has happened in previous cycles when recessions followed shortly after the Fed began cutting rates. Oil prices settled higher on Friday and notched over 3.5% in the weekly gains as positive economic data and signals from Fed policymakers that they could cut interest rates as early as September eased demand concerns, while fears of a widening Middle East conflict continues to raise supply risks. Brent crude futures settled up 0.39% at $79.75 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate crude futures rose 1.04% to $77.03, both benchmarks higher. Brent gained more than 3.5% in the week, while WTI rose more than 4%. Over in Europe, London's main equity indices logged declines for a second week on Friday, but ended higher for the day, supported by healthy gains in home builder stocks, while positive US jobs data this week did allay fears of recession in the world's largest economy. The blue chip FTSE index was up 0.3% on the day, but down on the week just a little. In London, home builders were among the top gainers, rising 1.5% after Bellway joined rivals in offering an upbeat outlook of the sector following the Bank of England's rate cut and the new Labour government's proposed planning reforms. Rate-sensitive real estate investment trusts and the real estate sector index also moved up higher. On the flip side, personal care drugs and grocery stocks and the luxury sector led declines, actually together down 0.8% each. Among other movers, Hargreaves Lansdown gained 2.3% after the investment platform agreed to a £5.44 billion takeover by an international consortium. Europe's main indices rose on Friday with a continued boost from healthcare stocks, logging gains for a fourth consecutive session and eking out a gain for a turbulent week that began with that rout for global stocks on fears of a US recession. The continent-wide Stoxx 600 index closed 0.6% higher and briefly reclaimed the 500-point mark during the day. The index managed to log a slight weekly advance after tumbling in Monday's session as investors grew worried about a potential economic downturn in the world's largest economy. The French CAC 40 and German DAX both gained between 0.1% and 0.8% and reversed early losses. Investors are buying the dip, however. With the lack of liquidity in markets, we could see more volatility in the coming months, and it could mean that the stock markets could take a step back, said macro strategist at Rabobank. On the data front, German inflation rose in July to 2.6%, confirming preliminary data, while the Italian EU Harmonized Consumer Prices Index fell 0.9% month on month in July. Healthcare, whereas the top sectoral gainer up 1.7%, as Europe's largest company by market value, Neurodisc, jumped 6.3% to log its second biggest straight gain after Wednesday's rout sparked by disappointed profit outlooks. The real estate sector topped sectoral gains, boosted by a 5.5% gain in LEG Immobilien, one of Germany's largest listed landlords, after it posted a smaller second quarter loss. And Asian stocks rose on Friday amid cooling fears that a US recession was imminent, while mildly positive inflation data from China also helped spruce up sentiment. But regional markets still looked at weekly losses after making steep declines at the beginning of the week. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose 0.3% each. That's relatively less than most of their Asian peers. Both indices were down about 0.8% across the week, a third straight week of losses. But inflation data from the country showed some improving trends, with the consumer price index inflation picking up by more than expected, while producer price index inflation shrank at a slower than expected pace. The reading indicates that a series of interest rate cuts by the People's Bank through July were actually bearing some fruit, although it remains to be seen whether China's deflationary trend would be sustainably reversed. The country's benchmark indices remain close to six-month lows. The Chinese yuan strengthened on Friday, with the US dollar pair falling 0.1% after a stronger than expected midpoint fix by the People's Bank. Japanese stocks surged at the end of the week, sharply pairing weekly losses, with the Nikkei 225 and Topix both up strongly on Friday. The two were still down across the week, though, and they did recoup the bulk of the losses made earlier in the week. The question of the carry trade, though, remains unanswered, with analysts still trying to calculate the size and impact on markets ahead. A rebound in Japanese markets came as the Bank of Japan officials attempted to downplay the central bank's unexpectedly hawkish message from last week. Bargain hunting in heavyweight tech stocks also aided Japanese indices, as positive earnings from majors including Tokyo Electron, that stock rose 1.7% after clocking stronger than expected earnings in the June quarter as it flagged increased demand from the AI sector. The Japanese yen steadied on Friday, but was nursing steep declines in recent sessions following some less hawkish signals from the Bank of Japan, and as improved sentiment also snapped the currency of safe haven demand. The US dollar-Japanese pair fell slightly to 146.63 yen, but was trading well above lows of around 141.6 yen hit earlier in the week. The yen's turnabout came from those Bank of Japan officials' comments that they would not hike interest rates during market volatility, tempering a hawkish message from the central bank during an end July meeting. In a way, the markets have won. Broaden Asian stocks advance, with tech-heavy exchanges such as South Korea's KOSPI and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index up between 1.5% and 2%. Gains in tech came in tandem with a rebound in US markets, and Taiwan semiconductors rose 7% across the week. India's Nifty 50 also rose 1.03% on Friday, having dipped on Thursday after the Reserve Bank of India struck an unexpectedly hawkish tone, while also slightly downgrading its outlook for growth in the current quarter. In Australia, Australian shares rallied 1.3% on Friday in broad gains after upbeat data soothed fears that the US economy was facing a recession, and that ended a brutal week for global markets on a positive note. All 11 sectors rose, with tech vaulting a whopping 3.1% as family tracking app Life360 hit an interest rate record high after upgrading full-year revenue guidance and revealing global expansion plans. The stock soared more than 18% to close at $17.56. That was the top performer on the benchmark. News Corp, the publishing and broadcast giant controlled by the Murdoch family, were also among the top gainers. On news, it plans to put its majority-owned Australian pay television platform Foxtel up for sale. Its shares rose 7.6% to $44.54. Overall, the benchmark ASX 200 closed 95.4 points higher at 7,777.7, following a 0.2% fall on Thursday. Yet on the week, it was down 2%, the biggest such loss since middle of April. The All Ords also advanced 1.3%. Index-heavy miners jumped in line with a rebound in iron ore prices. Rio Tinto jumped 2% to $116.47. BHP added 1.6% to $40.86. And Fortescue gained 2.2% to $18.49. The benchmark September iron ore futures contract climbed 2.8% to $102.25 per tonne in early trade in Singapore. And it fell below the key psychological level of $100 on Thursday on talk of steel output curbs in the top consumer, China. The big four banks climbed, with ANZ up 1.1% to $27.96, while Macquarie regained $200 after its recent wobble. It was a tough session for insurance group QBE, which was among the biggest laggards after investors shrugged off a strong gain in earnings to focus in on a small miss in net profit and guidance. The stock trimmed early losses but still closed 1.7% lower at $16.05. It hit an intraday low of $15.49. That's the lowest since late January. And real estate giant REA Group surged 6.8% to $202.36 after profit and dividends rose in the full year ending to June, thanks to higher home listings. And furniture retailer Nick Scully reversed earlier losses to end the session 0.1% up at $14.84, despite recording a big slump in full-year profit as shoppers spent less. In the currency market, the local dollar slid to 65.72 cents US, a level last seen 2 weeks ago. It ended the week up 0.97%. And finally, Bitcoin has now surpassed the $60,000 mark and briefly touched 62,600 after increasing by 25% in just 3 days, but it was last at 60,909, up 5% over the month net. That value rise was perhaps surprising, especially in light of how poorly Bitcoin has been doing lately. There's been a lot of talk, actually, about Bitcoin pricing between $40,000 and $45,000, according to recent surveys. Any plans that investors may have could be derailed by the recent spike in market volatility. Ether, by the way, was last at 2,637, off from recent lows, but still 9.5% down over the week and down 15% over the past month. So standing back, you can expect more volatility ahead. The information flows will continue to drip, information, particularly in the US, And that, of course, will be a significant factor in the markets ahead over the next week or two, particularly. But it's going to continue for some time. And the data is not clear enough to point one way or the other, which means that those traders will be continuing to run from one side of the boat to the other. Let's hope they don't run too fast and upturn the whole thing. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.